I'm Lance Carter from Daily Actor, and today I'm talking with Danny DeVito. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is in its seventh season and is thankfully showing no signs of aging. Danny DeVito stars as Frank Reynolds, and so far this season his character has been lost at sea with a rum-infused ham, almost married a crack-smoking hooker, and he started his own child beauty pageant. Like I said, it's showing no signs of aging. Danny started out off-Broadway, then he moved to films, then on to television with the classic sitcom Taxi, and moved to directing. And now there's even talk of him going to Broadway, with the revival of Neil Simon's The Sunshine Boys. How cool would that be? I talked to Danny in a conference call, where he talked about the comparisons between Taxi and Sunny, how TV comedy has changed, and how he commits to what he's doing until, quote, until it blows up in your face like a M80 and a bunch of meat. I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers. Every little click does help. And now, here he is, Danny DeVito.
Hey, man.
So in the show, the dialogue is crazy and the stories are ridiculous, but you and the rest of the cast play it perfectly. Is it hard for you guys to play most of those situations and keep it seemingly real and not usually over the top?
We're like very committed, to our mental capacity. I think that one of the great things is that, you know, when Rob and Glenn and Charlie created the show, right, they set the bar. And there's a lot of these things that they believe. And I have come to believe, as well. I mean, I think that... you know, the Charlie sandwich is, like, tasty. I like playing night crawlers, honestly. It's really a great thing. I do a lot of things like, you know, randomly drink things that are... We don't apply the don't mix rule. Don't do that. We throw up a lot. We do a lot of stuff that, like, you know, we probably would do in normal life. And so it's probably easier for us to do that. I like banging whores. I mean, of course, that's in character because I'm married. But let's see. There's a lot of so many things that I guess it's just committing to what you're doing and getting into it, and always thinking it's a great idea until it blows up in your face like a. Like an M80 and a bunch of meat.
So what attracted you to the role of Frank?
Well, the fact that they wrote it so well. First of all, there wasn't a role of Frank in the six seasons ago, and then they said they would like me to come on to the show, and I asked, I said if it's organic to the character, to the piece, and this was, I was the dad of Sweet D and Dennis, and if it was a character that I feel like I could, really let my hair down, no pun intended, and allow myself to, explore other avenues that were as raunchy or as ribald as I've done in the past, but with an FX kind of sensibility. They delivered on every front, and not only that, they became my good buddies, and now we're sailing along, having a great time.
How do you think the show manages to not offend people, even though it deals with so many sort of un-PC topics? What is it about the writing?
Right. Well, I think that every once in a while there's a barb that gets close to the line. I think we try to, stay as close to the nerve as possible, but I got a feeling it's where it's coming from. Might be one of the things. It might be that the way these characters, the way Dennis and Dee and Mac, Charlie and Frank, operate in their daily lives. I think that takes a little bit of the onus off of it, so you can get objective, you get behind it. You can understand, just somebody in that situation, those guys, like, having not the brightest reaction to when they find a baby in the dumpster. You know, they have the second bright. They're going to be nice to the baby. They're not going to hurt it. But the they skip the good part where they should be really trying to make sure they get really good care for the baby. They believe they can do it. So they pretty much believe they can do anything. And they try to protect the baby as best they can. Baby becomes part of them. And then the next thing you know, he's being painted with shoe polish and trying to get parts on television because they're only hiring Hispanics and African Americans. So it's like, you know, I always feel like no matter what we do, and in the sexual department, it's usually reciprocal. With Artemis and I, we both love banging in a dumpster, and she more than I, you know. And it's not like a bad thing if you've ever, well, it's one of those things that falls under don't knock it until you've tried it.
How do you compare your experience working on Sunny to your time on Taxi?
Oh, it's like, have you ever watched Fringe?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like another universe. It's like the same thing, in a way, because, well, we don't have the live audience, but we do have really good writing. And we had great writing on Taxi. And just as from an actor's point of view, we had a great cast on Taxi, and we have a great cast on Sunny. And we have people who are really, really care about each other. And but it's just an alternate universe. It's like a kind of it's a different milieu. It's a different, you know, whole zeitgeist of what goes on there. And so and it's a different time. I mean, I remember doing Taxi and falling in love with the candy girl who was Rhea, and she was the nice girl. And everybody didn't know why she was going out with me. And she said, I asked her, and she said, everybody tells me not to go out with you. The doorman tells me not to go out with you. And I said, well, why do you? And she says, Louie, you touch me. And I say, holy crap. And the standards and practices wouldn't let us say, holy crap. We had a fight to get to say holy and crap in the same sentence. We wound up doing it, but, you know, times have changed also.
Frank makes Louis De Palma look like Mother Teresa.
Yes, it's true.
And since no one sees himself as the villain in his own story, what is your in for playing Louis? What do you use to play this character season after season? And is there a kind of ongoing catharsis through doing that?
Yes. I agree with you on every front. I think that Louis De Palma is the mother, like you said, the Mother Teresa, except for the fact that Mother Teresa would probably not put her mother in a home just so he could have a party at his house like Louis did. And Louis is getting a pass by being called Mother Teresa, but he had a nugget of brass instead of, you know, for a heart. He had something in there. And there was some sensibilities in there, Louis. Frank is like, has it also, but, you know, he has a tenderness inside. But because of the parameters he set up, Frank has set up for himself, where he wants to live in squalor and filth, and he wants to experience everything that he never got a chance to do, that he always criticized possibly in the past, but always deep down really wanted to do that thing where he just put on the, you know, the Mardi Gras beads and go out and party all night and find somebody we could buy to have sex with. He just never did it before. He was like a businessman who was his nose to the grindstone. He needed that liberation. He needed that freedom. And it is cathartic. It's cathartic for Frank. Louis got off on, you know, making their lives miserable in the cage, but he did actually care about the characters. I think he felt Tony Danza was, this poor, Palooka who could never take a punch or throw one. Mary Lou was never going to get. He didn't have high hopes for those characters. He knew Judd was always going to be a cab driver, never get out of there. Louis was, I guess, on the one hand, having a good time making their life a little interesting. This is a different, these guys are more like Lucy and Ethel, where they they always have some scheme that Rob comes in with some scheme, and this one has got a plan, and that one's got a plan, and it's a breath of fresh air because Frank is he's half, they're half his age, and he gets a chance to like put his foot on the running board of a kind of a wild race car that he probably couldn't drive on his own. So,
Do you find that there's a personal catharsis in playing a character
yes.
who is so free?
Yes. Since I've taken this leap into this wonderful arena with Glenn and Charlie and Rob and Caitlin, I'm totally I always live pretty much free, and I'm I kind of like, always have a lot of fun. But this is like really relaxing, and no matter how much work there is and how much you're doing in a short amount of time, we only shoot for a certain amount of time, we have 13 episodes, concentrated. It's like wonderful getting up out of bed in the morning, going down there and having a ball, just having like, just very, and it's also affected me a little bit. I did the thing where I grew my hair for a year or more. My family thought it was a little crazy. I was braiding it at the table and, putting it in a bun when we go out. And then, and now it's all gone. I've taken it all off and I'm a blonde.
When do you feel like you're at your funniest, and what as an actor helps get you to that place?
I think it's the freedom to, allow yourself to go, allow yourself to, we have a script that's written every week. Let's just talk about the funny for a second. We have a script that's really well written. They all put it all together. And then we were allowed to like venture off a little bit. It's kind of like an improv, but it's not. You don't call it that. We just get into the situation and everybody like parries with each other. And I think sometimes some of the funniest things come out of Rob saying. I think it was the last show it was on. We were fighting over limes, and Rob looked at me. He was so mad. He said, "I put my finger through your eye, you little bastard." Something like that. And it was like out of the blue, and I just couldn't, of course I laughed my ass off, but, it's out of those, I think, come the funniest situations where they're spontaneous. But they do write some really great stuff, so it leads you into the path of, hilarity.
One thing I noticed, you spend a lot of time eating. Well, I guess I should say putting food in your mouth.
Yeah, I'm a
very How do you handle
moral.
Those kind of things?
What?
How do you handle those kind of takes?
How do I handle those kind of takes?
Yeah,
I don't know. I really stuff my face in the show. I spit it out most of the time when it's like too much, but once in a while, I'll just munch during the day, and I shouldn't do it. It's not good for the waistline, but, it's a lot of fun to do that. When I eat like an apple, when I eat like an animal, that's a whole other story. Or I think in the next Thursday night, I do a lot of eating. In Frank's Brother, we got a show coming up here where I do a lot of, it's kind of, mongrel eating. It's like a dog, a rabbit, starving, some kind of creature who's starving. Once they start eating it, it has to go in all the way, stuff it in. It's like drinking a beer. I don't worry about the beer falling over my cheeks. I just want that cold, thirst-quenching liquid coming down my throat.
Well, I'm curious to hear just some of your thoughts on how TV comedy has changed over the years, as someone who's a comedy legend, in my opinion, and how it's changed for you as an actor, being a part of it back then and now.
I think that, I'm not sure about that question totally, how to answer my take on the change of, the comedy itself. I think that every, things have to do with timing, and things have to do with the subject, and things have to do with surprise, and things have to do with things like that. All those things are kind of, the template for comedy, because the audience has to be surprised, and they have to be, all those, and whether you look at any of the comedians along the way, or you look at the television along the way, it's always that, I think. And then the times change, so things get different out there in the world, and the material changes because of it. Whether you're mocking something, or you're emulating something that is so ridiculous that that's the way. And then the values change in the society, and then also your PC, what you call PC, changes, like politically correct or socially correct, or something that's irreverent, that is, you may have been thinking about it for many, many years, but it just wasn't its time yet. And now, that's the way I think things have changed.
Do you think Frank Reynolds compares to any of the characters you've portrayed in your career?
I think he's got, he's an individual, definitely. His character is set up the way his character is. His situation is definitely... when you play characters, then they have a certain amount of energy, or they don't have a certain amount of energy. As an actor, you gather some of that. That always stays with you, because a lot of it's you. And a lot of my moves and my things that I like to do are come from within. So. They possibly resemble, even in, from Louis all the way to Other People's Money to Twins and all those. There's a lot of similarities in sometimes their spirit, but of course the situations and their makeup is different.
Since your range as an actor seems so broad, was it difficult making that transition from feature films to working in television?
Well, I came from I was on the stage doing off-Broadway work in New York. Then I came out, did some episodic television. Then I did the three-camera stuff. But I actually did movies before that, because I did Cuckoo's Nest and all that. For those, so it's not a big. I think if the audience accepts you in the different genres, then I think you're really fortunate. To go back and forth. I think I'm just watching Claire Danes now on her show Homeland, and she's doing a great job. And that's a different kind of show, but it's still going. From movies to TV, she's doing a really good job. And then, you know, then you look at the old days when it was like, when Travolta went from the TV show to the movies. So did Clint Eastwood in those days. So it wasn't commonly done, but I think it's not. And now with all the different medias, the internet medias and the wonderful like communications that we have out there in the world, I think people like to see the actors, and I think especially young folks, it doesn't really bug them like if I see them one day in a movie and another next time I see them they're on TV or on the even on the web. I think it's pretty free.
What's it like being from a different generation of actor than the rest of the cast? How do you contrast? What's that like?
Well, basically, you know, I'm like, they're my, they're like Dennis and Dee are definitely like my kids, and so is Rob, and so is Charlie, Mac and Charlie in their age. You know, they're in their early 30s, and I'm in my mid-60s. So, you know, how it works is I know more than they do. They have to listen to me. They do everything I say, and they wait on me. And then everything else is the same. Nothing different. And, you know, we act together. But if I need something, they go get it for me. If I, you know, they take me to my car. They make sure I get home. You know, take care of Dad. They take me out to dinner. They don't clean my dressing room, but we have a person to do that. But, you know, they would, because they're my kids, and kids have to take care of their parents. So far it's been really nice. They take care of me, really. And it's fun being with young people. I don't think it's like a bad thing for everybody to, you know, who's in that generation, the baby boomers or whatever I am, to open themselves up to young folks, because I believe are, not to sound like cliche and like I'm winning a beauty contest, but I believe our future lies with the young people, and I'm really excited about what's going on Wall Street, and I'm really excited about what's happening in the world, and I think that it's about time that you know, we don't take to the streets just because we're going to be drafted, which is what we did when I was a kid, and not sit around and understand that there are really, really important things going on in the world that we have to raise our voices to.
Thanks, Danny, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thanks again for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.